This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday. The DGS people, at least, agree, feels very much like a Friday.
It does.
You guys?
So I'll just get started now?
Yeah.
Well, right. Thursday is the Friday of the weekdays.
It's Friday Junior.
It's
Friday Eve.
I do like the Thursday. I do appreciate a good Thursday because you're like, it's Friday. I can stand on my head and spit nickels out of my butt if I need to. Right? One day, who can't do that?
Yeah.
But when you think it's Friday and you get to be Friday night tired, cozy, but it's Thursday, it's a little bit of a shocker.
A little weird.
But it's not horrible because you can kind of mail it
not
in
like it
on
was
Friday.
Wednesday. If it were Wednesday,
not gonna lie though,
come on,
pretty cool in college when Thursday basically became Friday because Thursday
it really was.
Yeah,
actually, I think our Friday started Wednesday in college.
Yeah, you do just kind of keep pushing it back.
Yeah, you're like, I only have 3 classes the next 2 days.
Hey,
like,
going out tonight?
Yeah.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yes.
Phoebe Glover, by design or luck, none of her classes start before 2 p.m.
Oh, my God.
Which
that's
is
insane.
Not
so
good for dad.
Jealous.
I'll tell you what. I did it my very first semester. I signed up for an 8 o'clock. It was a history of some kind. And I thought, well, I'm going to class now at 8. What's the big deal in high school? So, sure, yeah, I'll do this. It's not when you get to college.
Different deal.
Yeah, and then you're up till 3 with all of your friends in the dorm.
Dude.
And you're like, why did I sign up for this 8 o'clock? Which I missed a lot.
My downfall was adulthood. My downfall was when your teacher said, now in your freshman year, now you're adults and you don't have to come to this class. You don't have to study. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
I'll be here 3 days a week. You can come to my office hours. And bing, I was gone. I didn't even hear him say office hours.
Yeah.
It was so bad for me because I was not an adult. They told me I was, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
So
I don't know that I went to an office hours once ever in college. I can't remember if I did.
I went once when I failed a test that I was not prepared for. And I went into the professor, a fairly high-level psychology class, and I said, I'm shocked. I really thought I did well on that. And he sat back in his chair and he puffed his pipe and he goes, well, Mr. Glover, the empirical evidence is to the contrary.
he had a pipe.
I never forget that. Forgot that.
Actually, I got a test.
Awesome.
I got a grade on a test. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't great. And he was giving the test back to me, one of the professors. And and I said, well, I intended to do better on this. And he goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And it was the first time I had ever heard that. I thought, wow.
This guy's quotable.
Damn, all right.
That's awesome. Oh, that's so
Although
good.
I never went to an office hours that I can remember. You know the story about me teaching the class?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So when I was in grad school, I had to teach the public speaking class to freshmen. So the one class I taught, my required office hours were right after the class. So I taught the whole class. It was like an hour and a half, did the thing, go downstairs. And I am talking to other student assistants, and I realize my fly's been open the entire time.
Nice.
I look down, just wide open. And so I know I was teaching 18-year-olds, and it's just an open fly.
You had underpants
on,
though.
I did have underpants on.
That's the key.
Good saving grace.
Well,
that's what they're there for.
It's helpful.
Insurance.
As someone who doesn't wear them, I'll tell you, that's helpful.
Yeah. Oh, man.
No.
Yeah. You'd feel the breeze, though.
I would hope so.
You would think.
Yeah.
Were they patterned?
Yes. Yeah, they weren't solid colored. I know everybody saw it.
I wonder if they thought you were doing some sort of clever college
like
professor
a bit,
test.
Yeah. Like see if anybody would point it out.
Yeah.
Like somehow he's combining like people's worst fears, mm-hmm. public speaking, mm-hmm. and having your underpants out there.
You should have gone to the next class and been like, see, now I did that.
Dude, yeah.
And that's the worst case scenario for any of your public speaking in the future.
You need to pay attention to your fly.
A zipper is only a zipper when it's zipped.
Came out of nowhere.
Yes.
Who is that supposed to be?
What is it?
JFK.
That's okay. A JFK impression?
So we should move on.
You zip your pants not because it's easy, but because it is hard.
Now that's a JFK.
That's a JFK.
Yeah. That's the spirit.
There you go.
That's what I was going for.
Your zipper.
What the hell are you doing?
It's not a zipper.
That's what you
And it's Amy Mark scores an over-the-top impression.
But the good news is it led to the better version.
Yeah, true. The better version is in
it got us there.
Workshopping it.
Yeah, it got us there.
Listen, I've had a lot of strudel and donuts this morning. I think I'm feeling it.
It's always something else's fault, isn't it?
Yeah.
Probably.
It's never just you.
Well, I've never heard anyone blame a German confection.
It's the strudel did
There's
it.
There's always something.
I think it's my strudel.
I'm not sure what you did to that strudel.
Yeah, why'd you pull it into pieces?
I ate the top off.
Okay, that makes sense.
I really like
Nothing
it.
Nothing sadder
there's...
than the bottom of a strudel.
No, I only like the, I like, there has to be frosting on every bite.
Gotcha. In my old age, I am less into icing. Things have too much icing.
Yeah, I'm like, I like, love icing, but I want low level, appropriate level
I agree with
balance.
You.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I like Oreo Thins.
Ooh.
Oh, that's the worst.
No.
I've had them.
I don't think I've ever
you
had
don't
them.
Like them.
They're okay if you put them two stacked on top of each other.
Oh. See, the regulars are the perfect ones to me, like the old school regulars.
Double stuff.
Back when I was a kid, I loved the double stuff.
Too much stuff?
I think it's too much stuff now.
Way too much stuff. Don't they have a triple stuff now,
they
too?
They do.
They don't. Do they really?
Yeah.
They have a triple
Andrew?
Stuff?
Or it's like an all stuff.
What? Is there a triple stuff,
stuff
Oreo?
Only?
I have no idea.
They probably do have a stuff only.
That felt good, didn't it? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Don't know that much about Oreos.
That's not true.
Just not an Oreo guy or not a cookie guy?
They're not called triple stuff. They're called mega stuff.
Oh, mega stuff.
The funny thing, I'm not really all that much of a sweets guy these days. I don't know. I like Oreos enough. We have Oreos at my house sometimes because they don't have any milk in them, weirdly enough.
That's weird.
That's kind of troubling for the rest of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why you dunk them in milk.
They call it accidentally vegan because it's like, well, we maybe didn't intend it to be this way, but it just sort of happened like that. We have them around sometimes. I like them enough.
Do they call the filling cream in any way?
Yeah. But it's like
doesn't seem right.
C-R-E-M-E, and like no one knows what that means.
Creme.
Gotcha.
You know what I hate? Watching Andrew eat dry cereal.
With a spoon?
Yes.
He eats it with a spoon. Yeah, okay, I'll eat it with my hands, and I'm sure you guys will think that's way better.
It's better than with milk.
Yes.
I have trouble watching people, although I haven't done it in a very long time, but watching people slurp the cereal.
You don't have to slurp.
You just drink.
Where I grew up, you do.
I know. One of my best friends when I was
what
growing up.
What do you guys do? What's a guy supposed slurper. To do then if he can't eat cereal with a spoon?
If it's dry, you can
use your fingers.
Yeah.
Like, do you eat popcorn with a spoon?
They're saying they don't want me to eat cereal with a spoon.
Then you're saying,
hey, it's better than eating cereal with a spoon when it has milk in it. Yeah. What else are we supposed to do?
Well, you can do whatever you want as long as it's not around me.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat cereal in front of you either.
Yeah, do that at home. It's gross.
It's a private activity. Anything involving milk is a private activity.
Mm.
Right,
really?
Rach? You don't even like someone pouring your milk.
I agree. I have to be in control of the milk situation in
milk
order
and
to
tuna.
Enjoy myself.
I can't have mystery tuna.
So, you know, what I find more offensive than cereal, watching people eat cereal, because I don't really find that offensive. I find anything, any kind of liquid vitamin is rough.
Liquid vitamin?
Yeah. Like you have to pour it into a spoon. Like, you know, like old-timey cough syrup?
Oh.
Why do you call it a vitamin?
Well, no, because I do. I take liquid vitamins, and that's why this is very personal right now, because I'm offended by myself every morning when I take this liquid vitamin.
You're the only person doing that.
Mason Jar can't even. He's like, oh, my gosh. He's like, it's so weird. It is. It's like you pour a liquid vitamin. Yeah.
You remember that, your mom, like when you were sick in some way, just watching her pour whatever elixir it was into the spoon, you knew what was coming.
Yeah.
The only one that was super horribly gross to me, though, was the penicillin. The pink crap.
Like amoxicillin?
But the pink one.
Back in the old days, Amy,
it was penicillin.
Oh, yeah.
It was the worst.
That was the best.
No, it did not taste like bubblegum. It was gross, yes.
It was liquid even like Phoebe took stuff
Yeah,
like
it
that.
Was gross. That so, was the one I hated. I could deal with the cough syrups and all that.
The cherry cough syrups, those were like poison. Like those were gross.
Yeah.
I think I must be talking about something different because the liquid amoxicillin, when you had an ear infection, It was like bubble gum. It was good. It was the pink medicine. We liked it.
You know my milk of magnesia story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I begged
for it. That's a great one.
Had to finish the whole damn bottle. That defines World War II generation parenting. Like, it was like a Twilight Zone. They loved a good ironic ending. You know, it's like, oh, this kid begged for this chalky substance that keeps you from pooping or whatever it was.
Now you'll drink nothing.
Now you'll drink nothing but that with every meal.
What is its use?
I think it's either to make you poop or make you stop.
I thought it was to make you stop. This isn't like castor oil. That's an old time.
That's to make you puke.
That makes you throw up.
Yeah. Ipecac.
Ipecac makes you throw up, but castor oil was supposed to make you go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I think it makes you puke.
Do parents still do the thing where if their child threatens to run away, they, you know, like, oh, go ahead. Front door's right there. Yeah, give them a bag. Here you go. Pack your stuff. See ya.
Here's $5.
I'm going to call your bluff. First of all, do kids today still threaten to move out?
I don't think they do.
And if they do, do parents say, go ahead?
Do you guys ever run away?
No.
I think I threatened to one time and my parents said, yeah, okay, go ahead.
I knew proof positive no one was coming looking.
Yeah. Not even worth the bluff.
I mean, for real.
Yeah.
Like, maybe by the end of the day, but I had all day to cool my jets, so.
I'm going to run away. I'll be back for dinner.
When my dad was like a toddler, like 2 or 3, he kept, this is that World War II generation, he kept trying to get into his grandpa, so my great-grandpa's chewing tobacco. And my grandpa would tell him no, and he kept going after it. So finally my grandpa said, okay, I'm going to fix you some. Mm. And he did. Mm-hmm. And he was very, very ill afterwards. But yeah, that was kind of like, he's like, well, my grandpa said I never went for the chewing tobacco again.
People my age will know what movie this is. It's a little older than me. I was a kid when I saw it. But there's a scene where a young, I think it was an African-American kid. It might have even been Bill Cosby was the dad. But he caught him smoking or something. And so he just like, come sit down, have some whiskey, have a cigar. And he gets all green from it and throws up. And I remember as a kid being like, yeah, that's like every day. I mean, that's parenting. I don't even know why this is on a movie.
Yeah, right.
This is not even all that interesting. Still made an impression, though.
Yeah.
Did you guys have to finish your meals?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
What was it like that for me?
That was a wonderful changeover generationally.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I did. Like, I literally sat there until 9 p.m. a lot of nights, watching my friends play. The baseball field was between our house and our neighbor's house. It was an empty lot. And I would have to literally sit there with my applesauce covered in cinnamon or Brussels sprouts or whatever it was and just watch my friends play baseball. They were not going to be defeated. It was truly like a battle of wills. But for me, I wasn't being willful. I couldn't choke this crap down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then my dad didn't like certain things, and it'd just be like, oh, blah, 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 you know? Well, or like if I spilled something, end of the world.
Oh, yeah.
And so when my dad spilled his tea, it was secretly the greatest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would just be GD'ing all over the place. And
you're over
my
there
mom's
going,
mopping it up like, it's fine, Jack, it's fine. And I'm like, yeah.
And you're over there. Yeah, you're over there going, eat that, Dad.
Oh, yeah. Well, sweet.
You have a parent or a grandparent that grew up during the Depression.
Yeah.
You weren't wasting anything.
Nope.
And they weren't playing.
No. No. Because they went through all of that, and they're like, hey, I've seen what it's like when you don't have this food.
Yeah.
You're eating all of that.
Yeah, but then you get the other part of it that became, like, I watched this change with my own parents based on the kids, right? Because I was the first. My brother's only 3 years younger than me, so we got it kind of the same. But my sister was born when I was 18. So they raised a completely different way, that third child.
Yeah.
Because she went years where all she would do was eat chicken fingers and pizza. Mm-hmm. And they would give her chicken fingers and pizza every day. And when she got to be a teenager and she was a really highly competitive dancer, she would just bark out orders at them like teenagers do. Like, I need you to go get me a Wendy's. And my dad would be like, okay, we're going to go get it.
That's how it was with Nick and Phoebe. Have you seen the Nate Bargatze bit about that?
Yes,
where he says his younger sister was raised by trillionaires who were her best friends.
Yes! That's like my parents and my sister.
He had to sit them down and said, I don't think you guys should hang out anymore.
It's so true.
And I get it, though. I like totally get it now. Being the age that my dad was when my sister was 8 or 9, like, I totally get why you'd be like, you can just have whatever you want.
Welcome back, DGS 124. Caller Jim. Hello, Jim. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Good. You were talking about kids running away, and then go back years and years ago. Did you ever have any methylate put on you? Do you remember that stuff?
That was for the kids even tougher than me. We had Bactine. Then there was iodine. Methylate was the no kidding around stuff.
I don't think I've ever heard of
methylate.
What is that?
Oh, when you skinned your knee and got a cut, then they had to hold you down, put the methylate on you, and had a little glass.
Was it
had a glass jar with a little
swab
on it, and then you had to have your mother blow on it for you to cut the pain away, and then your dad come in with the hydrogen peroxide it out.
That was the stuff that I remembered was the hydrogen peroxide because it made the wound bubble.
He's not kidding. Stacy Gill got methylated.
Methylate.
And it was, it's in a brown glass beaker.
Yeah.
And little like an eyedropper thing, but at the end was just like a little wet swab and it would come out all red.
Ew.
Yeah.
Feel like if you were to put pure rubbing alcohol on your...
Probably. I never felt it. Bactine, to me, that was like upper crust. That was like upper middle class stuff. Even that, it is... You'd squeeze it out and but even that felt like pure alcohol.
Because my grandma had the hydrogen peroxide. Was it the brown plastic bottle?
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what she would have.
That doesn't really... I don't think that really hurts.
It
freaks
stung
you out because it bubbles.
Yeah.
And
it stings. It stung a little bit. The Bactine was the least stingy.
I think water stings. Like when you get like that really bad strawberry and the first time you get it under the water, that's a rough one.
I agree with you on that.
Rub some soap on that.
Man, when I did a fantasy camp and I skinned my, I think it was my knee, right? And they have the trainers there.
Yeah.
And he's like, let me clean that for you. And he scrubbed it with this like a Brillo pad. What are you doing? He's like, you don't want MRSA, pal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right.
That hurts so bad.
I always heat up my coffee. You know, I make the coffee, then I heat it up in the micro. I like to come to terms with it.
Yeah.
This has been about 10 years ago, and it was sitting on the side of a couch, and it spilled on my hip.
Ooh.
And it was about the size of a large man's hand, and it was a third-degree burn, and I had to put dressings on it, and I was asking Nick to help me. So this would have been a 20-year-old Nick and a 50-year-old Dave, and so I'm dropping my drawers. It's my son. It's fine. And he goes, oh, my God. Oh, jeez. And I know, right? It's awful. And he goes, no, your ass is so saggy. And it really hurt me.
Oh, that's so funny.
What? He's like, I've just never seen an ass like that.
Damn, kid.
Still remember it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Kids are the best.
Taking that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get out. 132 DGS on KMOX. Thanks to everyone who listens to our show, Chris and Amy's show, podcast, both of the shows. You can do that at Odyssey.com. If you're listening to 1120 AM, you can certainly do better. 98.7 FM is better. And then the Odyssey app is crystal clear. That's just Odyssey.com. Download it on your phone or your iPad. Listen in your car, listen at home, anywhere you want to go. You wonder what we talk about on the breaks? Amy and I were just having a discussion about when your genitals get too cold.
Yeah.
So, gotta look out for it.
Men's genitals.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, it's probably not a good thing for women either, but...
No, but I think it's a different...
Yes.
Yeah.
We're out there.
So, it's more out there.
Yeah.
And we were talking about runners.
Yeah.
It's out there, all right.
I'm out there, Jerry.
But I'm loving it.
I'm out there.
He told a story about the track runner. It just came out while he was running.
While he was running.
What a great story.
Yeah, the old designs of those old track shorts. Like, what were you thinking? Yeah.
They're the same designs. I mean, they're 2-inch shorts, very thin material, and there is a lot of faith.
Does
in
it
that
really
lighting.
Matter? Like, are you faster if you wear those things?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I think it was, I mean, look at the basketball.
Like, how much faster?
Look at the Larry Bird basketball shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Little butt huggers.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would say, like, and this is just, like, totally generic, but it's, like, I can tell if I'm faster than a guy based on how long his shorts are.
Interesting.
Like, if he's, like, in basketball shorts, I'm like, I'll beat him. If he's in 5-inch shorts,
yeah, but that's more of a sign that they're not as serious, right?
Right.
That's not because of the length of the shorts.
No, it's not because of the length of
the shorts. Okay. All right, good.
I'll tell you what. I can't stop thinking about the imagining this dude who's running the race and it fell out while he's running.
Didn't know it was a relay?
Didn't know. And this crowd starts to gather around him. I love you telling that story. It's like, wow, people are really cheering for me. Like, they're coming to see
this
your stuff.
This was 1983, and I can see that guy. Like, I not just that. I can see his face and everything. It's Northern so Illinois, funny. Cold, rainy night in the spring. Oh, final race. Everyone's just bundled up, waiting to get back on the bus and go home. This poor sap is running the mile. And he was built like me. He was like a bigger guy. And everything God gave him came out of those shorts.
Oh, man.
And I guess it was because of the cold rain he didn't notice. But he did four laps like that.
Wow.
And everyone just, hey, come here, look at this guy. And he thought that he was just killing it. And he was like in last place, and he finished in second or third.
Yeah.
And then he did that thing where he finishes, and you do the, and you bend over, and he's like, love of God.
Whoops.
I love you thought everybody was gathering to cheer him
tell.
On.
You can tell. Man.
He's like, why are they chanting my name?
It was probably his personal
Jimbo,
best.
Jimbo! Like, Jimbo!
No kidding.
Dude, your junk's out.
Will?
So I see that Lieutenant Dan is separating the internet.
Lieutenant Dan's a fraud.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Dan is a fraud. Okay, so.
He made it. I know that.
Yeah, he made it. And I, by the way, I saw a tweet today that made me laugh. It was the Hawk Tour Girl and Lieutenant Dan will both most likely become millionaires, and I'm supposed to convince my teenager school is important, which is an interesting point.
It's true.
But so the guy has a rap sheet a mile long.
He's been
a con artist.
As one does when they live in a dinghy on the ocean.
I mean, like, there's like something like 14 different mugshots from him. 14, not 14 of the same incident, 14 different times. He punched a police officer in the face and went to jail for it. He has hit an emergency, like an EMT person. He tried to set a woman on fire.
Oh, and Kevin doesn't gasoline think people on her. Can change.
And
well, now I wish he hadn't made
now,
it.
Now, according to a couple of people that have looked into him, it's like he set up the GoFundMe like weeks ago.
Mm. Oh,
really?
Okay.
He did.
That's what I don't think he did necessarily.
I see that the CEO of Kickout, offered him $100,000 in a new boat, and then he rescinded it when he read all this.
Yes, that's my point. Like, if you're losing the OutKick, if you're losing Clay Travis, you're probably a crappy person.
Good point.
Because he doesn't seem to care too much about that stuff. It's fascinating to me to like how fast people. And then I read a thread that was going through like this guy went to jail for punching a cop. This guy has all these drug arrests. This guy is not a veteran. He lost his leg, the bottom part of his leg, in a scooter accident 38 years ago. And apparently it was like a DUI type thing. And I'm reading this, and then all the comments are guys are like, I don't care. Bro's out there riding a boat during a storm. I'm giving him money. Like, what's wrong with you?
Brian from engineering said something?
Do you like my boat?
Paul's still yours.
Rachel?
Say something quickly.
I got nothing.
Go ahead and keep going, Kevin.
I'm actually
going
to turn my mic.
Well played, Rach.
The only smart one here.
But like, it's amazing to me. We talk about this topic all the time in that it's amazing how much information we have access to and how little people even care. Right? Like, we have the same people out here now that are following storms like, I'm never going to believe a weatherman ever again.
Will you stop?
I'm never going to believe a scientist ever again, but I'm going to believe every fake AI photo I see and pass it along on Facebook.
Not afraid of the waves.
I got to come up with it. I can't help it. That's how I picture Lieutenant Dan talking. Even though he's probably a little bit more of a, I don't know. What's the,
I gotta go fund me, Link.
Lieutenant Dan is not a good guy, is what I'm saying. I don't care if he rode a storm out in a boat.
About his record, his criminal record.
Yeah, I mean,
should that keep him from getting the money?
Yeah. Well, I mean, people can do what they want when you start a GoFundMe. You can give it to whoever you want, but I mean, like, it's just the sheer stupidity of, we turn this person into a hero because, one, they're doing the dumbest thing you can possibly do. I'm going to stay in my boat in the middle of a hurricane because I'm Lieutenant Dan, you know, because I don't get it. Like, we're going to reward somebody doing something really risky and stupid and then not even care that, oh, yeah, this guy's got 14 arrests and a million mugshots and he's punched a police officer and went to jail for it. Like, nobody cares. It's just because he's doing, all that matters is you're doing something crazy and weird and people are like, yay, I'm going to give him money.
Hmm.
There's nowhere to go from here.
No.
Should we just break really soon?
Oh, it wasn't, by the way, it wasn't, it wasn't Outkick.
He's still talking.
It wasn't Outkick, apparently. It was Aiden Ross, who I think is the one that gave Trump the Tesla truck.
Yeah, that's him.
Is that him?
Oh. Yeah.
So he's a different type of influencer guy, but he's a, you know, he's made a lot of money. He's got influencer money, if you will.
It is funny because I was watching a video of him doing an interview. We're talking about Lieutenant Dan doing an interview, talking about the experience, what it was like to be on the boat. And he's talking about cutting his anchor and all that stuff. And I was thinking, this was like an hour ago, I was thinking, I wonder what's going to come out about this dude that everybody's going to turn on him.
I've always said that. You don't want to be famous. Like, these people get famous and it's like, oh, that's the guy that XYZ.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so. I mean, maybe you want to get famous if you're not like a horrible person. Like,
yeah, that's doable.
All right, here you go.
If any of us got famous, it'd be
good
fine.
Point, good
we're
point.
Not, yeah, it's like, he's, that guy doesn't want to be famous.
Here's the list. Arrested 26 times in the last 5 years. 5 arrests this year. Aggravated battery, person using a deadly weapon, possession of drug it's paraphernalia, aggravated. Shocking. Operating without a license, failure to appear, failure to register, out of county warrant. I mean.
So he's used to draining resources.
Yes.
So
right.
There's that.
Basically, what he's run is a nice little con here. He's made some money because he figured out people are dumb enough to give it to him.
He's not actually ex-military?
No. He's not a veteran.
No.
This isn't even a radio show anymore. This is just us in my parents' basement when they don't know we're down there.
You know what I heard.
And we've had too much Kool-Aid.
I heard Lieutenant Dan did a bad thing.
48 DGS. Was anyone, God, please say yes, was anyone watching CNN last night when they were doing the blanket thing, the white blanket?
No.
No, so, because I was watching Anderson Cooper when he got hit by the styrofoam.
So
Cooper?
One of their, you said aggregated.
I know.
Aggregated.
They had a news person out there. And they had attached a white blanket to a clothesline, and it's whipping, it's a hurricane. And then they got into the eye, and it fell to the ground. Oh. And she explained it to us. And she said, now you'll notice that it's just lying safely on the ground because we're in the eye and there's no wind. But as soon as the wind starts again, it'll whip up again. And I was so mad. Like, you can do something terrible to me, and I'm like, that's fair. But when someone just does something dumb like that, I just wanted to come through the...
Oh, I hate that so much. You guys know that, like, when it's windy, things will blow away, and we have to... I hate that.
No one else is thinking about... Conservatives are the biggest self-owners. Especially the fringe. How stupid are conservatives that they can't even create hurricanes? Right? During hurricane season, the Democrats can. Yeah. They can affect the Democrats are so next level that they can create hurricanes and pinpoint where they're going to hit with lasers. But the conservatives are all befuddled and feckless and just sitting around with their hands in their butts, not able to create a single hurricane.
Yeah, the richest man in the world.
Yes.
Can't do what a bunch of
How do they
dopes.
Not see that? How do I, they not always, understand that that's a cell phone?
I've always enjoyed the dynamic that people are simultaneously evil geniuses that can trick the whole world, but also called idiots.
Or how the current president has somehow weaponized an entire justice system against
after
another guy.
After stealing an election in the most complicated country
but
in the world.
He's also too dumb to be president.
Yeah. I never understood that.
If I can think of that, why can't they think of that?
Because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
I mean, all the people saying those things don't believe them. But they know that
you don't think MTG believes it.
I think she does. Yeah, I don't. But I don't think the Elons of the world believe that stuff. I think they just know that it. First of all, it generates engagement because people love rage and they love anger. So you just play to that. I don't think most people saying them actually think that anybody can direct a hurricane. I mean,
most people, but they'll go along with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't believe that.
That's the problem.
Right.
That is one of the biggest problems we have in our country is people going along with it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yep.
Whoever it is, if they're in your group and they say something really offensive or really stupid or really not true, I believe the best thing you can do for your group is to call them out.
Yeah, say, no, that's stupid.
Yes.
And it's stupid that we're pushing it.
It's like what you discussed with Jack Danforth yesterday. Holly and Vance are smart enough to know that the January 6th stuff was nonsense. They know it. But it's to their advantage to act like they don't know it. That's what it is.
I think on the other side, because I'm in the middle, I am not a liberal. I'm not like a bleeding heart kind of like you're talking about. I don't think like what Trump says is true. I don't think that people go to school as a boy and they come home as a girl and no one told them that they're going to change their kids' genitals. I don't think that happens. But if you're talking about gender reassignment or gender affirming care before you're 18, I'm not super comfortable, right? I don't think that that's a crazy position to take. I also don't think I need to call people out, but I can at least be honest about the people who are maybe voting with that they have policies and things that they say that I don't think are true. Who agrees with 100% of everything?
I think it's because I don't recall a time where so many people are so afraid of getting primaried if they don't follow along with whatever the silliness is.
Or kicked out of the cool club. If you're not a politician, you're just a normie. If something's keeping you from stepping up and speaking up when you know that something is not true.
It's because it used to be a conservative or be in the Republican Party. You had, to some degree, a book of principles on which you stood. And so you were in the party. If you're like, this is what this principle means. This is how I am a conservative or Republican because I believe in these foundational principles. And what the Republican Party has done has thrown out their book of principles, and now they are playing a game of Simon Says. That's it. And Trump's Simon. And you either do what Simon says or you don't. You're in or you're out. That's all it is.
Well, I mean, look what's happened politically to people who have spoken out against him.
You get Liz Cheney'd. It's a verb now.
You lose your job.
Cheney'd. Yeah.
Kinzinger had to quit because he knew he was going to lose his. You know, same.
It happened with the Democratic Party for a little bit, right? I mean, it happened a little bit with the defund the police, and there was the squad group kind of came in, and there was a little bit of that push.
But it seems like
that is being pushed back.
Yeah,
now.
They pushed back against that.
Right,
Nancy Pelosi pushed back. Joe Biden pushed back. I mean, they pushed back. They put the squad kind of down a bit and said, "Hey, you don't run the party yet." I mean, that's what Nancy Pelosi did. That's what Joe Biden did.
Yeah.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Hey, you're not in charge yet. You can't push us around. The Republican Party allowed their party to be hijacked. And it's, you know, we talk about getting Liz Cheney'd. We're talking so much on the national level. But, Ranj, we talked to Stephen Richter.
The Maricopa County.
Of Maricopa County.
Richter, yeah.
A Republican. And he was primaried because he said, no, this was a good election. We ran the election well here in Maricopa County. He's out. He's out because he wouldn't go along with the lie that the election was fraudulent. A Republican, a good Republican is out because he wouldn't follow what Trump said. He wouldn't play Simon Says.
Look what happened to Raffensperger in Georgia. All the wrath he took for that.
Didn't he get death threats?
Oh, a lot of his whole family did. It's ridiculous.
For just saying that, we were on the up and up. That's what we
did. And these are people who are running the Republicans who were running the show. and who have firsthand knowledge that everything was fine. Everything was on the up and up, but people don't want to believe it, and they don't want to believe it because there's one particular person who continues to push the fact that it was rigged against him, which is absolute nonsense.
I don't understand why, again, non-politicians, just normies who are Republicans who are supporting Trump, don't have the courage to just say, however, and I know that some do. I have friends that do. But I have friends who don't. To just say, yeah, but X, Y, and Z are crazy. Mm-hmm. And I wish he'd stop saying this. Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.